Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into combat sports.
Left hook, right hand! Deontay Wilder, all over Fury!
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
Thank you, Pedro. You want to run tomorrow?
I'll be right. You going to run tomorrow morning?
5:30.
I'm leaving tomorrow at 10. I'll run with you tomorrow morning.
Okay, babe.
Pedro Fernandez.
You asked me how well did he fight? I don't know, but I can tell you one thing. He punched good.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Ring Talk Live Worldwide on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio Channel 211, the Dan Patrick Channel, like 1,000 other internet platforms. Bottom line is, we're knocking out all bums, often imitated but never duplicated. My name is Pedro Fernandez, and welcome to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, we are 1 week removed from Terrence Crawford's one-punch obliteration. Of course, Kell Brook. Kell Brook coming in from the UK, unrated at welterweight, formerly a welterweight champion, a guy that a lot of people thought had a good shot because of his size and the fact he was a natural welterweight. And of course, Crawford coming up from 135 to now 147. That's a big jump in weight, a big jump in size. And is Crawford really a welterweight? I mean, that's what we always talk about. Is Terrence Crawford really a welterweight? And of course, Terrence Crawford's been like champion since like 2014, 2015, something like that. But who has he beat? I mean, come on. There's all kinds of Scott Cuddies and Pedro Fernandez on his record. I mean, there's nearly Victor Postal. I mean, guys like that, come on. They aren't Hall of Famers. There's not one Hall of Famer or a potential Hall of Famer on Terrence Crawford's resume. So what am I trying to tell you? It's him. I mean, the bottom line is black guys don't draw. They don't. I mean, Sugar Ray Leonard, you heard him in the introduction there. Joe Frazier, heard him in the intro as well. Those guys drew. I mean, both were Olympic gold medalists, okay? If you're not an Olympic gold medalist and you're black, guess what? You got a hard time of boxing. This is no doubt about it. You will not draw the way the white guy will. How do I know that? I promoted boxing. Of course, back in the 90s, I had a couple cars here in San Francisco. The black fighters didn't sell tickets. The white fighters did sell tickets. It was like, what can I say? The black fighters were more talented than the white fighters, but the white fighters were more marketable. Anyway, that's Boxing 101. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. We'll come back. We'll bring in the boxing's PhD, Mr. Socrates Palmer, on Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
From that one thing you said, she spoke of strangers that don't sleep too bad. Kept on trying.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Now the fun begins.
Check it, 12 minutes past the hour. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. As I said earlier, often imitated but never duplicated. My name is Pedro Fernandez. If you are listening to the show for the very first time, let me welcome you to the Ring Talk family. If you've been here with me for 37 plus years, you know, some of you have, more power to you. You are family, no doubt about that. This is Ring Talk, your inside look into the world of boxing. Of course, some notes before I get to last week's card. Last night, of course, Tavares Cloud, the former light heavyweight champion, one of the most intimidating looking guys I've ever met in my life, was the winner. He came back in a KO with a guy that came in with a record of 4-11. No surprise he left at 4-12. And Benito Garvargas was a winner last night as well, as former world champion now, 27-2-2, 19 KOs, of course, campaigning as a lightweight, scored a third round KO over Otto Gámez. Gámez came in at 19-3, left 19-4, 14 KOs. That was in Mexico last night, of course, Friday night. Of course, the time was 108, round number 4. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, the man of the hour, or is he the man of the hour? I mean, here's a guy whose promoter says he loses money when he promotes him. Not a good thing, okay? Not from a promoter's point of view. And you think about this. Is he paying Terrence Crawford? I'm talking about he being Bob Arum, of course, the top-ranked CEO, the former United States attorney in the Johnson and Kennedy administration back in the 1960s. That's how long Bob Arum's been around. But Bob, of course, turned promoter-wise about 1965. He saw the money from the Sonny Liston, Cassius Clay, the second pay-per-view. I think it wasn't pay-per-view, then it was closed circuit. But he saw the closed circuit television revenues, and he realized that boxing was where he could make a whole lot of money, a whole lot more than being a United States attorney. So he became a boxing promoter and promoted Muhammad Ali. Now, of course, that was 1965. This is 2020, and his stud, as far as his stars are concerned. He's got Teofimo Lopez, but he's got Terrence Crawford. Terrence Crawford's a guy from Omaha, Nebraska. Of course, he could sell well in Omaha, Nebraska, but you couldn't sell ringside tickets in Omaha, Nebraska for $50 or maybe less. In other words, the economy's not there. You can't make any money with Terrence Crawford not at home. I mean, when you had Ray Leonard fighting in Landover, Maryland, things like that, you were able to fill up an arena. And of course, Ray had the gold medal. That was the difference. Terrence doesn't have the gold medal. So he's sort of void of any, how can I put this? He wasn't anointed. He had to fight his way up, but he really hasn't fought anybody. As I mentioned that, you know, he beat Ricky Burns for the lightweight championship back in the day. And Ricky Burns is a fair fighter, a good fighter, but Ricky Burns isn't going to the Hall of Fame, maybe the Hall of Fame in the UK. Outside of that, he ain't going to no Hall of Fame, not in the World Boxing Hall of Fame or the International Boxing Hall of Fame. And his entire resume is full of nondescript, no name type of guys. Of course, the fight last week was Kell Brook, a 13-1 fight. And yet we got excited about it. Why do we get excited about it? Because we're starving as boxing fans. Bottom line is, here's Bob Arum, Terrence Crawford, and Kell Brook after last week's fight.
All right, Terrence Crawford still discussing the victory with promoter Bob Arum. Terrence, it was close until it wasn't. What did you see that you were able to take advantage of?
Well, I was just trying to gauge the distance. You know, he had good distance, you know, and I was trying to find my rhythm in between, you know, getting my distance together and... You know, that's why I was so competitive at first. I couldn't get my shots off.
What adjustments were you able to make to finally get to, Kell Brook?
Well, you know, just step forward a little more, throw a little more punches, but not too much. And I caught up with him a couple of times.
I know that you always talk about having to excel the expectations for you. Well, you did tonight because it took Errol Spence 11 rounds to beat him, and you did it in 4. Does that mean anything to you?
Not at all. You know, it was different fights, you know, different, years and whatnot. But Kell's a tremendous talent. I can't take nothing away from him. He came and he tried to take my title. He was in shape. He made the weight. So there was no excuses to be put on the table. He just came off of 3 wins, not coming off of a loss. So he had his confidence up and he lost to the better man tonight.
You've been clear. The names you want are Manny Pacquiao, Errol Spence. How do you make that happen?
Let me tell you something, and I mean this. Spence and Garcia are fighting December 5. If they really want to make a big pay-per-view, I'll put Terrence Crawford in with both of them, one at a time, and he beat both of them the same night. He is far and away the best welterweight in the world. He goes back to the great welterweights like Ray Leonard and Tommy Hearns. He would have been competitive with them. The welterweights around now are not competitive with Terrence Crawford.
And Bob, you know that what made that era great is that everybody fought everybody. And you were able to make the fights with the heavyweights, Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury, twice. Will we see Bud in the ring with Errol Spence in the near future?
Errol Spence will try to avoid Terrence Crawford as long as he can because he knows he can't beat Terrence Crawford. You saw the performance tonight. I mean, he'll take out Errol Spence in about the same number of rounds like he took out Kell Brook.
You know, Bob Arum's not the greatest fight predictor in the entire world. He's a promoter trying to sell his product, so give him some props there. But the bottom line is Crawford wins, now 37-0. Still, there's no Hall of Famers on his resume, but I have a Hall of Famer on the line. Of course, I'm talking about the Bronx Bomber himself, Socrates Palmer, come to us from the Bronx. What's up, Mr. Hall of Fame?
Thank you for the kind words, my brother. I make sure that check goes out on time this week, I promise.
Okay, I wanted to bring that up, but anyway, I'm glad you brought that up, the check. Anyway, hey, let's talk about Bob Arum to an extent. Of course, he said this week that he was losing money promoting Terrence Crawford. Can you explain that to the listeners?
Well, isn't everybody losing money these days? I mean, if you put on a fight card, losing money as opposed to making that the same profit as you're used to, because obviously there's no gate. I mean, Terrence Crawford is a good friend of mine. He's retired now. Sekou Powell, he's a former junior middleweight contender. He said that he's got a problem, that he's too good and too black. And I guess it means that if he's trying to relate to the fact that he's not a ticket seller. You know, he's not going to sell out an arena. But Terrence Crawford has a good local following, you know, and he kind of like Virgil Hill, you know, was. He sells out that arena in Nebraska. You know, is he does he have crossover star?
But Socrates, if he sells out the arena in Omaha, Nebraska, it makes a sold out arena there is about $10,000. I mean, that's nothing like $7 million gate in Las Vegas, anything like that. The gate is not there. If he could draw in his hometown and make big money, they'd be fighting him in Omaha all the time.
Right, and that's the elephant in the room. They've always said that about Black American fighters, that they're hard to sell. You know, and if you just gotta, you know. The average fan, just go to an arena and see how the demographic of the crowd looks. You know, there aren't that many Black American fight fans, unless it's like a local support, friends and family. And then again, how many of them, to use a word from you, how many are cops? You know, so I understand what Bob was saying. Now, I found it crazy that he goes from putting Terrence Crawford into an all-time great status to then 48 hours later basically taking the dump on him. So I don't know where that came from. You know, so you know what I mean? I mean, he's comparing him to some of the all-time greats, you know, Leonard and that era. And then, you know, a couple of days later, you know, he's saying that he's losing money with him and he's not going to go bankrupt promoting him. There's got to be something in between there, you know, and I get it. You know, you're not making the gate. No one is, you know, and it's a reality of the times that we're in. Do I think Terrence Crawford is the best welterweight in the world? I think so, you know, and the best fight to make to end all speculation is for him to fight the winner of Errol Spence and Danny Garcia. Is it going to happen in 2021? I hope.
Okay. You brought up Bob Arum, of course, former United States Attorney, CEO at Top Rank. I was in Las Vegas one time in a fight. I can't remember the fight, but Bob Arum was addressing the press, and I think it was like on a Thursday, and he lied to us. He came out and he lied right through his teeth from the podium. So the next day he came, when we caught him in a lie, he came back the next day and his opening statement was, "Yesterday I lied, but today I'm telling the truth." Quote, I'm not kidding, that's him.
Yes, that's a very famous line by him.
Let's take a break here. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. The Bronx Bomber, Socrates Palmer, of course, Boxing's True PhD, will come back with us after the break. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You can join us on the toll-free if you dare, 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Or get this. Get us on the toll-free, guilt-free text line. The number, 415-275-1613. The studio text line, once again, 1-415-275-1613. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Something else to watch two men at the highest level battle, and one may be favored over the other, but you never know what's going to happen. And that's why boxing is the way it is.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Hello, killer!
Little guitar there, Jerry Cortez and the Tower of Power. Of course, that was the album that came out a couple of years ago. They got another one out, man. They've got another LP album. I think Cuddy calls them drops now. They aren't called records anymore. CDs are called drops. But Tower of Power is a new drop out. Check it out at towerofpower.com. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. You're inside looking to the world of boxing and MMA. Last week on the undercard of Crawford, Joshua Franco and Andrew Maloney hooked up in a bout that ended in some controversy, and of course it took 25 minutes of, let me put it to you like this. Nevada's got a new rule to where if something goes on controversial, what they do is they go to a ringside official with the instant replay. Ooh, the instant replay, okay? Well, the guy in the instant replay booth here was my former favorite guy. I'm talking about Robert Byrd. Of course, he was a guy that I recommended. I said, Bob, you need to go to Las Vegas to get the big fights from Los Angeles, because he was a former California State policeman. I said, "Don't me, you're going to make it here in L.A.? They don't fight anyway." He moves off to Las Vegas, becomes boxing's almost premier referee in the city of stars, no doubt about that. But then, of course, it's time to retire maybe. Maybe he's gotten too old, because last week for 25 minutes he watched replay after replay after replay after replay. And it was sort of like, you know, as a private investigator, I remember showing this jilted husband a picture of his cheating wife. And he kept looking at the picture and saying, is that her? Is that her? Is that her? And that's the way I sort of felt with this. Bottom line is, we need to wake up and face the reality. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide on the phone, of course, still from the Bronx Bomber himself, Mr. Socrates Palmer. You want to weigh in on that, Soc?
The Maloney's can't catch a break, it seems. You know, it's been a bad U.S. tour.
That's cold. A bad U.S.
Yeah, tour. Yeah, they can't catch a break. I mean, listen, you know, the first time, you know, they came with a lot of hype and they were upset or the Maloney that fought last week, he was upset the first time around. He got his run back in the rematch and he looked like a different guy. You know, he was snapping his punches beautifully. And, you know, the replay showed that he got screwed. You know, I thought that injury was a legitimate punch, and unfortunately he got the short end of the stick. I would only assume that there's going to be a third fight, and he probably will not want to have that fight here in America if I'm him.
I understand King Rye is going to come back, looks like January 2nd, him and Luke Campbell testing positive for Corona. Referee Joe Cortez has tested positive for Corona of late. Of course, some of the big names testing positive for Corona. Donald Trump Jr. You know, how come all these guys are recovering so rapidly, and yet poor people that don't get those advanced medical techniques and things like that aren't? You feel me on that one? They're getting special treatment.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, is there anything new, you know, that the better position you are economically, you get better treatment? You know, I don't think you have to necessarily, you know, be too smart to figure that out. I'm glad to hear that Joe Cortez, his wife, put out a statement that he's doing better. He's definitely one of the, I had my problems with him in terms of some of his fights that he refereed, but he's still still a legend, you know, still a legend and a New York guy and a nice man. I met him once, so, you know, I hope he makes a speedy recovery. It's out there, man. It's real. It's something that we are living through, and hopefully it will get better in 2021, you know.
Yeah. You know, speaking of Joe Cortez, you know, I did the Evander Holyfield-John Ruiz fight, the first one. I televised it for King Vision, myself and the Colonel Bob Sheridan, and we're sitting side by side, and John Ruiz faked a low blow. It was a body shot, and he faked a low blow. So I wanted to scream at Joe. I mean, I'm the ref. I got the perfect view of this. You know where I'm coming from? I am the ringside instant replay guy watching this on the screen. It's a very blatant body shot, and he's acting it up. John Ruiz, of course, in his crazy corner, man. But the bottom line is, at the end of the day, Joe pulled a gaff there, and I think that John Ruiz was on the verge of being stopped by Evander Holyfield, and had that not taken place, I don't think we'd have had that second, third Holyfield-Ruiz fight, because, you know, those were nothing but scams.
Yeah. You know, that one mistake altered the history, you know, boxing history, because does Roy Jones then go up and, you know, cherry pick against the easiest heavyweight champ that there was at the time? Does he take the chance to fight Evander? Probably not. You know, so that's something. Have one mistake, you know, just domino affected. And I do remember John Ruiz trying to win an Oscar that night. You know, it was right up there with, well, not as bad as, remember the guy that Terry Norris fought, the Dominican cat, Santana?
Oh yeah, Luis Santana. But then he had that guy coaching him in the corner. I can't remember what the guy's name is.
Yeah. I think he had this
clown coaching him in the corner, and I can't remember his name. He was a boxing man. Oh, he's the guy that makes the gloves. He's the guy that makes
Elvis
the boxing
Grant.
Gloves.
Elvis Grant. Yeah, right, Elvis Grant.
So anyway, I'm sharing a hotel room with him in Palm Springs, California, and I find a bunch of Nair, N-A-I-R, that hair remover, in the bathroom. So I said, well, any chicks around? Because it was women's Nair, okay? So I said, hey, any chicks around? He goes, no. I said, so who's using the Nair? He goes, I do. I said, yeah, okay. I didn't sleep there that night. I changed rooms.
Yeah, he Elvis. I mean, I've interacted with him okay, but he a little pretentious. A little bit.
A good way to put it. Now we've got Luke Campbell and King Rye, of course, talking about Ryan Garcia rescheduled for January the 2nd. Does Ryan Garcia have to go out there and do another super job like he did the last time, that one punch knockout, in order to try to convince people like you that he's a real deal?
I mean, if he does that, it would definitely put a lot of people on notice, you know, and say, hey, you know, this is somebody that gave Lomachenko a pretty competitive fight, you know, went the distance, if I'm not mistaken. And if King Rai is able to, you know, annihilate him like the way he did the Filipino fighter, I can't remember his name right now, then it's like, whoa, you know, the kid is something, you know. He has to go out and do a... It's his turn now to shine. You know, Devin Haney had his spotlight. He kind of underperformed. If he's able to, you know, handle a world-class fighter, former Olympic medalist, Luke Campbell, that's a big, big step up for him. And I don't think it's going to be easy. I can't see him. I can see him winning by stoppage, you know, because of Ryan's. Ryan has skills, you know, but setting that up is going to be tougher than he's had to face before. Luke Campbell could fight. And, you know, I'm looking forward to that in the early year.
Why is it everybody I told to tune in to see Devin Haney last week, why is it everybody that watched that fight was just disappointed at the end of 12 rounds? Can you explain that to me in a nutshell?
You expected more. You know, you expect more, especially you're fighting a guy that's, you know, probably 40 years old, and it's, he doesn't have much left in the tank, but you know, he's gone 24 rounds, you know, one on one leg, you know, against two guys that are considered to be in the top five of that weight class. Maybe we give Gamboa some credit, you know, for just being one of those crafty guys that knows how to survive. But Devin Haney, you know, he could have made a statement that day, and he didn't. It shows that there are levels to this sport. He's not on Teofimo Lopez's level at this moment. Not saying that he won't be, but right now, I don't even think that fight's competitive.
Okay. There are fights today on DAZN, of course, November 21st, DAZN, Conor Benn versus Sebastian Formella, and on Fox Sports 1, Javier Fortuna versus Antonio Lozado. Of course, next week, we've got a couple of heavyweights going to battle in the UK. Of course, one guy, I think, nothing of heavyweight Joe Joyce. He's a 4-1 underdog, 4-51 underdog against Daniel Dubois. Dubois, of course, both these guys undefeated. But let's talk about that. Joe Joyce, I dog him. I think he's the most untalented guy I've ever seen in the world. Did I just see him in an out of shape fight and I'm not giving him his props or what?
You know, I didn't realize how old he is. He's 35. You know, I mean, listen, I don't think he's much. But if he pulls an upset of Dubois, you know, maybe Dubois not that good. I mean, he wouldn't be the first British heavyweight that's kind of hyped up. We remember David Price.
That's not fair. That's not fair because I was hyping David Price as the next coming of God, and then he fell like a tree.
Hey, you know, it happened. I mean, why wouldn't you? The guy he had everything. You know, the height, you know, the Olympic pedigree. You know, it happens, bro. You know, what was the other British fighter? Audley Harrison. It happens, you know. Let's see. You know, it's a good measuring stick for both fighters. You hope that, you know, it's a competitive fight and both guys bring their best, you know, for the British bragging rights.
Ladies and gentlemen, the great Socrates Palmer. Of course, Boxing's Only True PhD appears Saturdays on Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, Ring Talk Live Worldwide airs Saturday, 11 a.m. Pacific. I'm live right here on all these same channels. Of course, Sirius XM Satellite Channel 211 and the iHeartRadio Network as well. Socrates, Boxing's Only PhD, I thank you so much for your time, sir. I feel honored.
Thank you, my brother. Appreciate it. Have a great Thanksgiving to all the listeners out there. And you too, brother. Stay safe.
Stay safe. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. 37 plus years now. Knocking out all bums. More after the break.
thank all of you who made this possible this evening. All of the effort that you made and all of the people whose names I haven't mentioned, but who made all, did all of the work at the precinct level, who got out the vote, who did all of the effort, brought forth all of the effort that's required. I was a campaign manager 8 years ago. I know what a difference that kind of an effort and that kind of commitment makes. So I thank all of you. Mayor Yorty has just sent me a message that we've been here too long already. So my thanks to all of you, and now it's on to Chicago, and let's win there.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
This time it's real, bringing you back June 5th, 1968, the Ambassador Hotel, Los Angeles, California. That was Robert Kennedy's last speech before being assassinated by Sirhan Sirhan and a host of other people in there in the lobby of the Ambassador Hotel. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. You're inside looking for the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, last week on MMA, as far as the MMA world was concerned, the UFC was rocking and rolling on ESPN+. Of course, an entire card, former lightweight champion Rafael Dos Anjos was the winner over Paul Felder. It was a split decision. In other words, cards going to the, I mean, when you go to the cards in an MMA fight, you know, you really want, MMA is all about finishes. I mean, it's what it is. You want finishes. You want people to finish guys. In other words, it's knockout or submission or choke, whatever way it goes. You want the fight to end. Going to the points, going to scorecards and judges, not always the best way to go anyway. The main event went to the scorecards. That wasn't too cool. Chaos Williams scored a knockout in the catchweight bout, 172.5. That was a weight against Williams Phil to make weight. He knocked out Abdul Al-Azan in the first round, 30 seconds in. Real quick, a women's strawweight bout, Ashley Yoder defeated Miranda Granger with the unanimous nod across the board over three rounds. Outside of that, not a whole lot on that card. Another woman's strawweight bout, Corey McKenna beat Kay Hansen. Of course, women are the future of MMA. Why do I say that? Because there's not any guys out there thinking, there's not a whole lot of male superstars out there. I mean, they need to find the next Ronda Rousey, and maybe not the Ronda Rousey per se. Ronda Rousey would be like a big superstar, megastar, but they can build from having young local girls in the United States and maybe Brazil as well. In other words, you get a local girl, you get her to build some a local following, then you put her on the national stage and see what she can do, okay? If she can step up, if she can capture national acclaim and win that gold, you know, you've got a product that you started from the beginning, that you started from the beginning. Of course, a lot of Dana's guys, a lot of Dana White's guys, of course, in the UFC, and girls, they're picked, they're hand-picked by Dana White. He who succeeds is often the favorite of Mr. White, which is not always the best way to do that. I mean, listen, if you're in bed with the promoter, it's cool, but if you're not in bed with the promoter, you're in trouble. Yeah, I guess it's always been that way, but never like it is in the world of mixed martial arts. I'm just not a Dana White fan. I think Dana's a good guy. I mean, just sit around and have a beer with, except for the fact that he's got some right-wing political views that are off the wall. But, I mean, sit around and have a beer with, smoke a joint with, he's a good guy. But as far as him running the sport of mixed martial arts and basically the UFC being their figurehead, the guy that runs the show, the guy that calls the shots, the guy that makes the matches, I mean, the guy that's so detail-oriented, he's down to everything as far as his stage design, everything. Dana does it all. More power to him. He's a control freak. I love that, okay? But he doesn't pay his fighters enough. And I've said this time and time and time again. In my mind, he is the pimp of combat sports. Why do I say that? I mean, think about this. If, and I've said it before, I was a San Francisco policeman. I knew pimps that worked the city and county of San Francisco. And they had girls that worked for them. And of course, girls that wanted to work for them. They weren't hooked, strung out on girls. They were sex workers. I mean, they have them today. They had them back then. Anyway, sex workers working for a guy. The guy would arrange things, this and that. So, the guy was a pimp or an agent. Call him what you want. But the bottom line is he got a percentage of what the girl made. Okay. Now, if the girl was making $100 and the pimp was taking $88, or $90, the chick would probably have a problem with that. She would probably have a problem with that. But those in the world of the UFC, they don't have a problem with that because that's what they got to deal with. I mean, some people have said it's 12%. I heard Dana White try to hint one day or sort of insinuate that it was 18% of the total UFC dollar goes to payroll. I don't think so. I think it's a one-way street as far as the promoters, of course, and the people that own the UFC. They bought it for $4,200 million. I mean, $4.2 billion. $4,200 million. Do you really think it's worth that? I don't think so. Anyway, tonight, they've got a bunch of no-names going. It's a title fight, though, a flyweight championship. Of course, back in the days when the flyweight champ was Demetrius Johnson, and then Henry Cejudo went in there and just obliterated everybody at 135 and 125. Flyweight was 125. He stepped up to 135. He wasn't supposed to win there, and he won there, so he pissed Dana off. So they just wiped him away. They took away his title, basically. They retired him because they didn't want to give him the money. I mean, he keeps talking about wanting that heavyweight money. You've heard him say that on the show. I want that heavyweight money, Dana White. Well, guess what? He ain't getting that heavyweight money, so I guess he's not going to be with the UFC for a while. We'll get into that in depth on Sunday show, of course. Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific time, two hours on these same channels right here. Ring Talk Live Worldwide, the Sunday edition, will feature the Godfather Larry mentioned, former undefeated professional boxer. She's a model as well. I'm talking about Jennifer Childers. And we'll also go one more round with Vince Caruso, my guy down there. Of course, now I think he's in Phoenix, Arizona, or Tucson, Arizona, but promoter. He's done everything but fight. He's a great character. We'll have some fun with him tomorrow. Of course, that is the Sunday edition of Ring Talk Live Worldwide featuring the Godfather, the retired HBO Godfather, Larry Mitchell. So in this main event for the UFC Flyweight Championship, a guy named Alex Perez, not a bad record, 24-5, taking on 19-1, Delson Figueiredo. Okay, Figueiredo's a champion. I didn't know that. Valentina Shevchenko, she's a women's flyweight champion, 125 pounds. She can fight a little bit. She's taking on Jennifer Maia. Maia can fight as well. This is going to be a good fight. You know, as I said earlier, the women deliver in mixed martial arts. The women don't deliver in boxing. I mean, come on. When's the last time you saw a woman deliver in boxing? You think Leila Ali was exciting? Her name was exciting. The rest of her was sort of dull. I mean, I'll never forget that night she appeared on the show. She goes, you know, I'm staying up past my bedtime. I looked at the clock and go, it's late. And she's in L.A. I go, it's 8:30 Pacific time. You want to go to bed? You can't wait to do this interview another time. Oh, no, I'm here. Bottom line is she copped an attitude. We put her in her place. Anyway, I don't think Clarissa Shields, of course, she's now the women's flag bearer as far as women's boxing is concerned. I think she's successful in a lot of ways, but none of them are really, when it comes to exciting fight fans. I mean, for her clique, I mean, her little crew, her little Clarissa Shields fan club, I mean, she's the greatest. She's the greatest women fighter of all time. I saw that on one of the websites the other day. Come on, man. Yeah, she's won 13 fights. She may have done some Olympic stuff and won a gold medal or two, but I'm telling you, at the end of the day, she is not entertaining. She's like watching paint dry on a fence. I mean, come on, man. I'm going to tell you like this. I want to recommend, I think she could do great things in the medical world. I think Clarissa Shields could be a groundbreaker in the world of medical science. I think she could, I think they put her fights on television that crack addicts will quit crack and go to sleep. That people that can't sleep, insomniacs, those people with insomnia, that they'll be going to sleep. There's no doubt about it. Just put a Clarissa Shield tape in the little box right there. If you still have a VCR, a DVR, whatever it is, and play some Clarissa Shields, and you will go to sleep. No doubt about it. Now, am I tough on Clarissa Shields? Yeah, but why? She sucks. She's horrible. I mean, she's like 11 or 13-0 with like two knockouts, and I think she's dropped two people. I think two of her opponents have hit the floor. Outside of that, nobody's hit the floor. At the end of the day, she's really, really boring. Unlike the women in mixed martial arts like Valentina Shevchenko and Jennifer Maia, they're going to hook it up tonight. No doubt about that. A catchweight fight. Of course, this main card, UFC, was at 255 now. Wow, UFC 255. I remember when I jumped on with the UFC, it was UFC 34. UFC 34, wow, it was with Tito Ortiz back in the day. Holy cow, time flies. Anyway, Mike Perry, former UFC stud, taking on Tim Means. These guys are going to fight at 175.5, so somebody didn't make the weight there. And another women's fight on the card, Caitlin Chukana is going to take on Cynthia Calvillo. Calvillo can fight. And a fight that I really don't want to see, because I think this guy is way too long in the tooth. I mean, talk about wanting to get hurt. Mauricio Shogun Rua. Oh, my God. He's taking on Paul Craig. But Shogun Rua, I mean, I've seen some fights. There's been a couple of fights where he's taking beatings where I had to turn my face away from the screen. In other words, he's getting beat up so much, I just can't look anymore. I mean, he's had 11 losses, 27 wins, and he's been around a long time. But, you know, there comes a time when the time is not there anymore. And a lot of these guys, he's 38 years old, of course, coming to us from Brazil, but he got to give it up. Anderson Silva finally gave it up a few weeks ago, a fortnight ago. He decided at the age of 45 he wasn't going to fight anymore, but it took him, or at least he's not going to fight in the UFC anymore. He said he still might fight as far as in Brazil is concerned, because that's what he does. You know, come on, man, not at 45. I mean, come on, like Mike Tyson and Roy Jones, a segue to that. Of course, that's going to take place in the upcoming days. I'm not a big fan of exhibitions because of the fact that when I've had exhibitions, they always went bad. They just did, except for that. I did one exhibition one night. And what I mean by it went bad was, in other words, you start off doing an exhibition and like you're touching, you're tapping, you're touching each other, right? And then something happens and then you want to assert your will. You're not getting, in other words, you got two wills going against each other. And of course, I always wanted to impose my will on other people. And if I had to in an exhibition, I had to in an exhibition. I remember them taking me down to Modesto, California, and fighting a couple of exhibitions, but they weren't exhibitions. They ended up being fights. In other words, we're going to go down and do an exhibition, Pete, and we get down there, Chris Gomez and I, and then, oh, no, it's a fight. And you look at the guy you're going to fight, you say, well, that guy doesn't look like he's in that great of condition. Who cares? Go out there and get the win. Learn what you can fighting these guys away. That's what I learned, how to fight guys in the gym and down there in the valley. I hate to say that, but I took advantage of a lot of guys who were less than me. But that's how you get better. I'm saying this is the way it is. I mean, you don't get better. You don't get better getting your ass whooped in the gym. You just don't do that. I mean, I know guys that do that Philadelphia gym mentality where you want to get whooped up in the gym to show prove you're a tough guy. What do you think? I want to sound like Meldrick Taylor? No, thanks. No, thanks, man. I don't need to sound like that. Of course, Mel can't even write his name anymore. Well, how does he sign his name? M-E-L. No Meldrick Taylor. No Meldrick. Just M-E-L. Anyway, the rest of the UFC card. Sort of poor. Of course, the UFC is going to be on pay-per-view tonight. Good luck with that one. That main card is on pay-per-view. UFC 255 on pay-per-view. Good luck on that one. Anyway, the rest of the card is on ESPN Plus, and it starts at about 4 o'clock Pacific time. You check your television dials are concerned. As far as the rest of the year in the UFC is concerned, I'm not all that impressed. I mean, there's nothing there. There's no big names there. They don't have any names. They're starving for names. This is no doubt about it. They're in a position right now where they need to get things going as far as names are concerned, and they don't have the names in the world of the UFC. I'm sorry, you just don't have it. Bottom line is we got some fights coming up. Billy Joe Saunders, of WBO super middleweight champion, he's going to be taking on Martin Murray, of course, going to hook it up over in the UK. It's going to go down December the 4th. And whether you like Barry Hearn or not, of course, and the promoter that runs The Zone, whether you like him or not, the bottom line is at the end of the day, he's one of the few guys putting together professional boxing right now. So him, Arum, of course, is doing their things and doing it well. People tap on Bob Arum, but Bob Arum's put on the shows at the Bubble in Las Vegas, and they're putting shows on TV. Of course, eventually they're going to go back to live crowds with the coming of the vaccine, I believe, in early 2021. I think we can look forward to having big crowds and arenas again, probably towards the latter stages of 2021, without a doubt. Without a doubt. I mean, I'm really optimistic about that. I think you should be as well. So when the vaccine rolls out, although nobody wants to take the vaccine first, cracks me up. Nobody wants to take it first. I mean, everyone wants to take it, but nobody wants to take it first. That's why people are telling me, yeah, I want to take it, but not right away. And I sort of feel that way as well. You sort of want to watch it, see what it does to other people, let the other guinea pigs take it. But the bottom line is, if Pfizer is putting out this vaccine, I'm going to get behind it. I believe in Pfizer. I believe in them as a company. I believe them as a drug company. I think that they're positive. I think that they would not put out any smoke like this. As far as the other companies are concerned, I don't know them in depth. The only reason why I know Pfizer is I've studied them in the past as far as some of the drugs they've made. And what can I say? There's been some incredible results with stuff that Pfizer has created. Anyway, December the 5th, Errol Spence, the aforementioned Errol Spence, of course, the undefeated welterweight champion, Errol Spence Jr., coming to us from Dallas, Texas. Of course, the WBC and IBF 147-pound champion, although there's like 1,000 champions of those at WBC. I thought Sean Porter was a WBC champion. Anyway, who knows? Anyway, Errol Spence, Danny Garcia. Garcia, the former junior welterweight champion, moving up to 147. Of course, he really can't fight at 147 because he can't impose his will. What I talked about earlier, I was able to impose my will against welterweights that were bums, but I couldn't impose my will against welterweights that were good. I mean, or better than good. Just couldn't do it, you know, just because of the size difference. Anyway, Errol Spence, Danny Garcia. Danny Garcia moving up in weight from 140 to 147. Spence, of course, the reigning 147-pound champion. Is he a great fighter? I don't know if he's a great fighter, but you know what? Against Danny Garcia don't hit hard. And, of course, Errol Spence got thrown out of that car. So if I was to bet on this fight, I wouldn't bet. Because anything can happen. Earl Spence's damaged goods. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Back after the break.
We don't back down from nobody.
Hold on.
We can take it in the street if you want to.
Heaven help us.
One can have a dream, baby.
Two can make a dream so real.
One can talk about being in love.
Two can say how it feels.
You know, it was around 1990, 1992 when I got hooked up with Ricky Ricardo. Now, when you think Ricky Ricardo, you think like I Love Lucy and, of course, her husband in the 1950s TV sitcom. Of course, I Love Lucy and Ricky Ricardo were like icons, right? Well, Ricky Ricardo was an icon, too. This Ricky Ricardo was an icon. He was the son of a guy that started this this restaurant over in San Leandro, California, and they weren't really making a whole lot of money selling, you know, spaghetti plates and this kind of stuff. So Ricky came up with the idea of maybe a sports bar might work. So it wasn't even a sports bar. He called it a sports theater, Ricky's Sports Theater on Hesperian Boulevard near International Boulevard or East 14th Street in San Leandro, California. So he had this sports bar thing. He was sort of like the first guy to come up with a sports bar concept and locally, and it really worked. And of course, he became a famous place for the Raiders to hang out and the A's to hang out. And of course, I saw John Madden there. John Madden and I had watched a couple of fights together there, and so did Al Davis. I think he was the owner of the Oakland Raiders. We watched a game there or a fight together one time. So I got to meet all kinds of Oakland Raiders celebrities there, including the great Jack Tatum. But you know, Ricky always extended the welcome hand to the Ring Talk crew. We'd come over there, we'd have a good time, we'd broadcast live from there. I remember the time I had a contest winner come over, and it surprised the hell out of me when I found out who the contest winner was, because I knew who she was. Anyway, bottom line is, Ricky was a class act, and Ricky passed away this past week from Alzheimer's disease. Now, Ricky and his wife, who I like to call Lucille Ball of Ricky Ricardo's Lurky Sports here, talking about Tina, her and Ricky were like hand in hand for better than 25 or 30 years. I used to see them at concerts, and I'm going to miss them both. Of course, not able to see Tina because of the COVID, but now Ricky has left us. God bless you, Ricky. I love you. Until next time, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, Saturdays and Sundays, 11 a.m. Pacific time, right here on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.